welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. I'm not even sure what we're calling this segment anymore, but it's with Alan Kukovich, former member of the Pennsylvania House and Senate, never arrested for body slamming a reporter at any time. Alan, welcome.
Not once.
And also we've got, Tom Balia. Tom is a radio extraordinaire guy, and I don't know, as a reporter, Tom, did you ever get body slammed by a reporter?
After I saw that story, I was regretting that during my years as a county commissioner, I never body slammed anybody from the Tribune Review. I wouldn't want to necessarily do it to the reporter. I'd rather done it to the publisher or the editorial editor. But I was a nonviolent person, so I never did that to anybody.
You know, that's like falling off your horse and being drug across miles of cactus-filled... never mind. That came out of Caddyshack. But,
It's good to learn that, Tom will only body slam the elites. I think that's positive. I thought when I was representing the Union Edge in Cleveland, I thought I was going to get body slammed when I was at the hotel where the Republican Pennsylvania delegation was. But I weighed a little bit more back then. I looked more formidable, I think.
Yeah, and with that thought, you know, not wanting anything to go to waste. You know, Alan, that tan jacket that you have?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, if... it's a nice jacket, man.
Oh, thanks.
So, in any case, guys, I mean, other than the fact that in Montana, and I don't know if it's actually going to have any change or not, but my only question is, if you body slam a reporter on tape in front of witnesses that confirm the story of the reporter in Montana, it's only a misdemeanor?
That's amazing.
It depends on the violence of the assault. I think in Pennsylvania, and it depends on the attorney or the district attorney in that jurisdiction. They could make the decision really on what to charge, whether it's a heavier class of assault and battery or just a misdemeanor assault. So it's hard to say. But
is this not part of a trend where Donald Trump started off with, oh, the evil press, you know, and he's saying, oh, those bad press people over there, be mean to them. Where we had staffers grabbing female reporters by the wrist hard enough to leave a bruise, is this not just a continuation of bad behavior on part of some of the Donald Trump clan?
Well, it's pretty clear now, and the statistics show that Trump's campaign and now his presidency have emboldened the ultra-right and the white nationalist supremacists, et cetera, et cetera. But I think you're right, Charles. I think it has had an impact on like the reporter that was arrested in West Virginia. Reporters have been saying after the campaign how they were in fear at Trump rallies. I mean, that did manifest itself by his words and actions at those rallies, whipping people up against the press and against journalists. And so it's still surprising that a candidate day before the election would get physically violent with a reporter. But the interesting thing will be what the political result would be. I know Montana has some early voting, mail-in votes.
They said, they thought a high percentage had already cast votes before that day.
Right.
So
yeah.
Whether it plays out in the outcome of the election or not is questionable because of early voting.
And that's a very interesting thing because, you know, quite honestly, I thought for the most part that early voting benefited Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in fact true in Montana?
Yeah, I can't answer that about Montana. generally, that is true. Democrats are more participatory in early voting online and mail. But again, that can change from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. I still think that something as eye-opening as this and made national media news could have an impact. It certainly can't help this guy. I mean, some people joke that I think it's unfair to treat Montanans as being, you know, pro-violence. I think it will hurt the Republican candidate, Gianforte. But as Tom said, it's hard to read to what extent because of the early voting. So it will be interesting. I know that the Republicans are concerned because that's a district that Trump carried by 20%. They're worried about the polling in that 6th district in Georgia, another special election, mm-hmm. that I believe will take place next Tuesday. If the Democrats win one of those, it's going to have an impact on whether they're able to pass some terrible health care bill or some terrible tax bill that helps the rich. I think it'll make their task much more difficult, maybe impossible. I think a lot of moderate Republicans are jumping ship on some of the Paul Ryan, Donald Trump agenda right now.
Well, when have you seen a president submit a budget that his own party is saying is dead on arrival when it gets to Congress?
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I've ever actually heard a politician saying, my president's budget's draconian.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's we're pretty close to that. You know, I almost feel sorry for many of the Republicans that are out there.
I'm glad you said almost.
Simply for the fact that, you get some laughs on that one, Tom. Simply for the fact that, you know, they are walking into a door frame and everybody can see it, but nobody's warning them. You know, that's what this is looking like. So,
well, I'm not feeling sorry for them because they still could do the right thing. I mean, face it. I mean, we've talked on this show about gerrymandered districts that are safe.
Mm-hmm.
But there are Republicans who are in districts that could go Democratic. In Pennsylvania, somebody like Charlie Dent in the Lehigh Valley, but Charlie has been doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll be safer. But if you look at Rothfuss or Murphy, they have not been doing the right thing.
Right. But they've got a boatload of cash on hand and lots of people ready to come in with additional cash. You know, I'm sorry. I really hate it when people carpetbag into my congressional district with a bunch of cash from out of state or out of country or wherever. One of the other things I found interesting, and I'm going to toss this out here before we go to break, is in Montana, I have heard no one tell Greg Gianforte that, you know, hey, you know what, dude? Maybe you ought to just quit.
You have that kind of anger management issues before you've taken office.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, if you're willing to do that to the reporter, think what he's willing to do to the interns, you know?
Well, somebody who did quit was Joe Lieberman. He withdrew his name from consideration for FBI director.
Oh, did he?
Remember, yes, he did. It just happened. And if you remember, Trump said almost 2 weeks ago that he would have this done at the end of, well, that would have been last week. And now they're almost starting from square one. Trump's made a statement, or somebody from the White House made a statement, that they think they're going to broaden the net as to applicants for FBI directors. So they're behind the eight ball on this one, too.
Clint Eastwood.
I think we've seen it across the board. There's an unwillingness with a lot of folks to serve in a Trump administration. I think that's why they have a lot of unfilled spots. I think he had to grab it just in the sacks for you know, a lot of the cabinet positions, and took some real extremists like DeVos, who has no real education. formal education background to be Secretary of Education. So it's interesting now that Lieberman's backed out, but not necessarily surprising.
Yeah, well, you know, and as the president's looking for somebody to take over the FBI, there's Sheriff Joe Arpaio, there's Clint Eastwood, Chuck Norris, you know, so we, and any one of a dozen people that were actors in Delta Force. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
It was 1973. Helen Reddy's song, I Am Woman, was at the top of the charts. The feminist movement was in full swing. A group of Boston women office workers started talking about how they were treated at work, how men made more money for the same jobs, how they couldn't take time off to care for their kids without putting their jobs at risk. They were feisty, empowered, and fed up. They founded 9to5, a membership organization of women working in low-wage jobs, inspiring a national hit song and movie. Whether it's fighting for better leave policies, for equal pay for equal work, to ban the box, or strengthen the safety net, 9to5 is on the front lines of putting our issues on the public agenda, and they're winning big. Find out more about how they're raising the bar at www.9to5.org. That's the number 9to5.org.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated.
The library.
On Jones House.
The bus stop.
And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by ATU 85 and IBEW Local 141. We appreciate their support. On the phones with us today, we've got Alan Kukovich. Alan, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And also on the phones with us today, we've got Tom Balia. Tom, welcome back.
It's nice to be back, Charles. And I don't know if you two have seen the breaking stories on Trump's NATO speech, but national security experts were watching it closely, and the White House had assured them that he would reaffirm our commitment to Article 5, which is essentially, you know, joint defense of each other, which is really the foundation of NATO. And
right.
He never mentioned it in his speech.
You know, a little bit of history, guys. Article 5 has only been invoked one time since the formation of NATO. It was invoked by the United States on 9/11. All countries responded.
Well, now he will not do that.
No, and from what I hear, he kind of hectored them again on not paying their fair share, which is not entirely accurate. I mean, they have a longer time period, and they have almost all the countries have been annually putting a little bit more into to reach that goal. So I don't know why he is so upset about that issue, unless he just thinks it plays well politically back home.
You know what? For those people, and I'm going to say this after as someone who has served in the United States military in a NATO unit, a joint NATO unit in Germany, okay? Trust me, the Germans, the German government, the German military have contributed their full weight and measure. No ands, ifs, or buts about it.
Well, it's just one more problem in this ongoing relationship with Vladimir Putin, because out of today's speech, who is the happiest with the consequences? Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Putin's
strategy me how an entire side of the political spectrum that has spent our entire lifetimes, even Alan's, which is a lot longer than ours, Charles, being anti-communist. And this guy, I don't care if he calls himself a communist anymore, he was the head of their intelligence service. He is as ruthless and evil as he was during the Cold War today, only they don't call themselves communists. And how can people be so shallow and wishy-washy that they've had lifetime convictions that they're willing to change on the election of this guy?
Well, because, you know, here's the deal, I think, Tom. And Alan, back me up if you think I'm right. The people in Russia are no longer communists. They are capitalists. They are predatory capitalists. They are the most predatory capitalists in the world. In addition to that, it's a country that they have a sizable military, and they've got nukes. Alan?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, but they've taken capitalism to a degree that is the worst aspects of it, where you have all these oligarchs, where you have the domination of markets by friends of the head of state. I'm not sure what you can even call that kind of system, but it's kind of the worst of both worlds.
And it's not a democracy where they have honest elections.
That's true. We're seeing all the evidence that's been coming out for years about the way Putin has dabbled in, and not just the Ukraine and those nations that were once part of the Soviet Union in their elections, but in places like the Netherlands, like Sweden, most recently in France. I mean, I don't think it was a coincidence that Marine Pen showed up at Trump Tower and then later at the Kremlin. And both Trump and Putin said positive things about Le Pen, who is, kind of like the David Duke, the white supremacist of France. So, you know, they're dabbling in trying to make democracies look bad and strengthen them. They apparently were extremely interested. I don't know if they were actively involved, but they wanted Brexit. As Tom said, they don't want the European Union. They don't want NATO. They don't want combined forces that can sort of hedge them in. And I think Putin would like to restore the old Soviet Union. He would like to get back all those countries that they had lost. And
right,
that would raise the threat to Europe. And then, of course, those are all our allies, and that would raise the threat to us also.
Exactly. And we do, as a nation, have enduring, firm, hardcore responsibilities and interests in seeing Europe remain outside of that type of control.
And you saw some of those interests going way back, and those interests are historic. They've been there since the end of World War II. And it's one of the things that has helped keep us safe, and we can't turn our backs on that now.
It's a frightening situation, and, you know, the instability in Turkey and all that's going on there, you know, we have missiles in Turkey, you know. So the more instability in that region, the more dangerous it is in the long run, not only for us, but for everybody in the world. And now we
Absolutely.
Suddenly have a president that is ready to destabilize everything. in that, you know, we have enough challenges in the Middle East with all the issues going on. He wants to destabilize NATO and the European continent, where at least in the last 40 or 50 years there's been generally no wars. So it's a dangerous situation that I don't know if Americans, because Americans tend to gloss over foreign affairs and have a very shallow interest in it and understanding of it, that they understand the dangers that are going on with this guy.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have a keen understanding of what's going on, and I think I've finally come to the conclusion of what Donald Trump's motivation is. I think Putin promised him that he was going to be made king of Slovenia.
Oh, now, just a minute. I would like the listeners to know that's pure conjecture, and there's no basis for that yet. But I...
Yet.
Aren't you
I saw
king of it, Alan, that's ready to go back and claim his throne?
No, I don't think. And keep in mind, Melania is from Slovenia. So
yes.
Yeah.
I know. That's, to change the subject a little bit, right before the break, some things were mentioned. I'm wondering if listeners can check into the website and make note. We should start a contest for the worst cabinet member. Tom had mentioned Betsy DeVos, who is, I mean, her main goal is to attack public education, and now she's Secretary of Education. But between DeVos and Sessions, it would be pretty close. And Price, for people who care about health care being screwed up.
Rick Perry?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, what a lineup. That could be a contest, Charles.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Charles, I think the Union Edge should have a contest for worst cabinet member. That would be interesting.
And then the winner wins a one-on-one interview with that cabinet member. No body slams allowed.
Or maybe dinner with Charles, Angela, and Brittany.
That's right.
There you go.
We head into Memorial Day weekend in America, and I don't know. I just feel this uneasiness about our country. I really do. The divisions, the more I see them, are so deep. I don't know. Donald Trump's not somebody that's bringing people together. We know that. But down the road, how do we start bringing people together again? And I know we're at the end of the show, so maybe that can be a topic for a future show.
I think as we're transitioning out, what we're going to do is, you know, we've had Alan Kukovich as a member of the House and Senate here in Pennsylvania. I think what we need to do is get Alan to up his game a little bit. And 2020.
That's right.
We got a lot to talk about.
But before you do that, Alan, I want that tan jacket, okay? I'm just saying, you know, because I won't be able to get to you with the Secret Service and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's true. All right. That can be part of our deal.
All right. There you go. So you run for president, I get your brown jacket. And Tom will look at us like we're both nuts. But we are. So, guys, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. We are coming to the end of it. We are going to give serious thought to putting together a contest for the worst cabinet member of the current administration. And just to really bait the bear, I think we ought to include somebody from the FCC too, but that's another story in of itself. But guys, always a pleasure. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.